Well, last Sunday, we were reminded that prayer is a tremendous privilege of the salvation that we have obtained through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Last Sunday, we touched upon Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, which proclaims to us that Christ is the great priest over the house of God who offered himself to atone for our sins so that all who trust in him might be granted freedom and confidence to draw near to God. And that's the awesome privilege of prayer. And our Lord commanded us to avail ourselves of this invaluable gift. That was the subject of last week's text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Well, in today's text from Matthew 6, we're reminded that because of Christ's saving work for us, when we draw near to God, we draw near not as a stranger or as merely his subjects, but more than that, we draw near to him as his beloved children. As many of us know so well, Christ died for our sins to secure for us the right of adoption. The gospel is very clear. No one is a child of God by default. The right to become children of God is reserved for those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that famous text from John chapter 1. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And if that describes us, then we have obtained the right of adoption into God's household, and we are now his children, and he is our heavenly Father. Well, I'm but an earthly father with much room to improve and to grow. But as far as my two little children are concerned, I love them with a special fatherly affection. And why is that? Because they are my children. And because they are my children, I am deeply concerned to meet their needs. And any of us who are fathers in this congregation, I'm sure, understand exactly how I feel. If that's the way we feel about our children, how much more is our Heavenly Father concerned to meet the needs of his own beloved children in Christ Jesus? And yet, if you're anything like me, we tend to become needlessly anxious about our life. But as we can see in today's text, our Lord Jesus commands us not to be anxious. He doesn't suggest to us not to be anxious. It's a command. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Do we sometimes feel anxious about our life? When I was growing up as a child, I don't think I ever felt seriously anxious about my life. There was always food on the table. There was always a roof over my head. There was always a closet full of clothes and pretty much everything else that a child could need. The only time as a child when I did suffer something that was life-threatening, I was too young to even comprehend what was really going on. It wasn't until I was older with my own family that I suffered my first major medical problem, and it was then that I truly felt anxiety about my life. For Christ's original disciples, up on that mountain, anxiety over food, drink, clothing was more than a minor concern. Issues like starvation, malnutrition, and exposure were real problems they probably witnessed firsthand and may have even experienced at some point in their lives themselves. Anxiety over food and clothing was an anxiety about life. Are we anxious about our life? Are we anxious about making ends meet for our family? Are we worried how we will get on as we grow older? Are we maybe stressed about our health? Maybe we've taken some medical tests and are worried about the results and what it could mean for our life. If we are God's children, our Lord Jesus commands us not to be anxious about our life, not to be anxious for the things we need to live. And to reinforce that command, our Lord provides an argument from greater to lesser. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So our Lord Jesus reinforces his command for his children, for God's children, to be free of anxiety by providing an argument from greater to lesser. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? First, our Lord reminds us that life is more than food. Each day, our Heavenly Father provides us with the incredible gift of life. If God decided to withhold life from any of us at any point in time, we would have died instantly. It wouldn't matter the degree of health that we enjoy or the abundance that we have. If God decided to withhold life from us, the gift of life from us this morning, we would have simply dropped down dead. If our Heavenly Father graciously gives us the precious gift of life, such an incredible gift, such an enormous gift, we can be assured that as His beloved children, He will provide for our needs as well. Argument from greater to lesser. The greater gift being life. Secondly, our Lord reminds us that the body is more than clothing. Think about our bodies. Think about the myriad of biological mechanisms that work in harmony in order to keep us alive moment by moment. If the Lord were to withhold His power exercised upon our bodies, the intricate mechanisms that keep our bodies functioning would cease, and we would die on the spot. So we read in Nehemiah 9, verse 6, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them." Our bodies function because God's power is preserving them at this very moment in time. What a marvelous gift. If our Heavenly Father keeps our bodies working in this way, well, we can rely on Him to keep meeting our needs. Clothes, shelter, sustenance, anything else. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? An argument from greater to lesser. And as we look on in today's text, we'll see that our Lord directs our attention to the birds of the air. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If we are prone to worry, look at the birds of the air. That's what our Lord Jesus tells us. Consider them. They lack the intelligence, the foresight to sow or reap or gather into barns. And yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In fact, not a single sparrow dies apart from God's decision. So we read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Not a single sparrow dies apart from our Father's will. Until God decides that one sparrow should fall to the ground, He continues to sustain its life. The Lord assures us that we are of more value to the Father than many, many sparrows. We are His children. So how much more will the Lord sustain us until His appointed time? This, of course, doesn't mean that He's going to give us a life that's largely free of difficulties, free of maladies. Indeed, as we learned last week, sometimes the Lord sends hardship into our lives and leaves them in place in order to sanctify us through them. Think the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. Why was it given to him? To keep him from becoming conceited. The Lord left that thorn in the flesh in place to benefit Paul's sanctification. And He sometimes does the same for us. But in the midst of whatever trials He has deemed necessary for our spiritual good, we can be assured that if we are His children, He will sustain us until the appointed time. He even does that for sparrows, little sparrows. How much more for His beloved children. Furthermore, unlike sparrows, we do have the intellect and do have the foresight to gather into barns. We know how to save and store. We can plan ahead for a rainy day. We can come up with all sorts of ideas to supplement our income. We can concoct a diet and exercise plan to benefit our health and stave off disease. With the exercise of our God-given intellect and the fact that we are far more valued than the birds our Father feeds, we should not be anxious, but rely confidently on God to provide. After directing our attention to our Heavenly Father's care for the birds, our Lord Jesus tells us that anxiety cannot add a single hour to our span of life. Verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Which of you? Which of us? And the answer, of course, is none of us. None of us, by being anxious, can add a single hour to our span of life. In Psalm 139, we are shown that our span of life has already been set by our Heavenly Father. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So our anxiety will not increase our lifespan. God has all our days written in His book. So if we are His children, through faith in Christ Jesus, there is no point in growing anxious about our span of life. Now, it is true that the Lord requires us to steward our bodies, because our bodies, along with our souls, have been redeemed as God's eternal possession. And we've talked about this a lot in our message series in Philippians, which you've recently completed. Yes, we are required to steward our bodies, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. It's His eternal possession. Likewise, we read in Scripture that our Lord requires us to steward our resources for His service and His glory. We have no right, therefore, to treat our bodies and our resources recklessly. And doing so will displease God and harm the quality of lifespan that God has appointed for us. So we are required to manage these things for the Lord. We can't be reckless. But as we do, we must remember, no amount of anxiety over our health, over our personal safety, over our finances will add a single hour to our span of life. God has all our days already written in His book. So don't worry about our life. Having made this point about anxiety and our span of life, our Lord Jesus then directs our attention to the lilies of the field, verse 28 to 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Like the birds of the air, God considers His children to be of far greater value than the flowers of the field. Yet as relatively worthless as the lilies of the field happen to be, what can we see? We can see that God clothes them with a covering that exceeds Solomon in all his glory. Unlike the lilies of the field, much like the birds of the air, we do toil. We do spin. God provides us with work to make a living. And we are worth far more to God, to our Heavenly Father, than the grass of the field. So again, why are we worried about our needs? Well, the reason we are worried, according to our Lord Jesus, is because we have little faith. What is at the root of anxiety? Our little faith. Look at what we read in verse 20 to 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, if we are believers, we trust in God's provision for far greater needs than our earthly needs. We trust God to provide us with eternal life. We trust Him for a place in heaven. We trust Him to raise us up from the dead and glorify us because of what His Son has accomplished for our salvation. And yet we struggle to trust Him to provide for our temporal needs. That should not be. We trust Him for heavenly provision, but we so often fail to trust Him for earthly provision. As John MacArthur writes, in his commentary, you believe that God can redeem you, save you from sin, break the shackles of Satan, take you to heaven where he has prepared a place for you, and keep you for all eternity. Jesus is saying, and yet you do not trust him to supply your daily needs. We freely put our eternal destiny in his hands, but at times refuse to believe he will provide what we need to eat, drink, and wear. Instead of worrying about our needs, the Lord Jesus commands us to focus our thoughts and energy elsewhere. To what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. 31 to 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Instead of spending our time anxiously, fretfully, trying to discern what will happen to us, our Lord Jesus tells us to spend that time trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:9, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We know that Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of God as his anointed king. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to prioritize knowing and doing the righteous will of Christ, the King. As we know, the will of our Lord Jesus Christ touches every aspect of our lives, from being a parent to being workers in the workplace, to how we relate to our spouse, to how we relate with unbelievers, to how we relate with our fellow brethren in the body of Christ. As children of God and as citizens of his kingdom, our Lord assures us that as we prioritize understanding and doing his will on earth, our Father in heaven will provide for our needs. So we must not be anxious. See, we can waste tremendous time paralyzed and consumed with worry. I know there have been many times that describes me. So what we're reading here today in Matthew 6, to the children of God, have faith. Have faith. Not only in regards to God's eternal provision, but also in regard to God's temporal, earthly provision. If we trust in Christ Jesus from the heart, we have received the blessings of salvation, including adoption into God's household. We are God's children now, and he cares for us like no other. Therefore, our Lord teaches us to focus on his kingdom and righteousness, not on the things we need. You know, sometimes people think that means that we should just direct most of our attention to church activities, divert it from our secular workplace, and mostly focus our attention on church activities. But that's a misunderstanding of what our Lord is teaching. Focusing on the kingdom and righteousness of God will mean that we should focus on becoming more responsible workers in the workplace, not less responsible. Because now that we are children of God and citizens of Christ's kingdoms, we are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is what we read in Ephesians 6:5-8. It gives us a principle for how we ought to conduct ourselves in the workplace. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. That's a principle that applies to today. You see, because we are accountable to our Lord Jesus Christ as workers in the workplace. Even if our boss is not watching us, we do have a master in heaven who is watching us, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that means that we will become even better workers in the workplace. It doesn't mean that we funnel all our attention away from our secular workplace and just focus on our church ministry. No, it means that we will become better workers in the workplace and also better servants, or should I say faithful servants in the church of Christ. So as we focus on discerning and pleasing our King in all aspects of life, ask the Lord to provide for our daily needs in prayer. That's what our Lord teaches us in Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're praying. We pray for our daily bread. We're praying for God to provide our daily needs. And once we do that, once we ask the Lord to provide for us, don't worry. That's the teaching of today's text. If we are prone to lock ourselves away in our room when we're anxious, well, if we are going to apply today's text, then probably the best thing we should do in those times is to get out of our room, go to the kitchen, and wash the dishes. Take out the trash. Put your children to bed and pray with them. That's a part of seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. Seeking first the rule of Christ, even within our own households. Sit down with your spouse over a hot mug and encourage each other in the Lord. Go to bed at a decent time and try to get plenty of sleep to prepare for tomorrow's tasks and duties. Don't ruminate on fearful thoughts. But as we read in Scripture, cast your anxieties on God, because He is our Father and He cares for us. And as we drift off to sleep, think on worthwhile things, not on our worried ruminations. Because our Lord commands us to make good use of our minds. That's also how we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Put our minds to good use. Think on worthwhile things as we drift off. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Does that sound like thinking about anxious ruminations? No. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about those things, not our anxious worries. Let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have provided for us Your precious counsel and commandments in regards to how we live our lives. You are concerned that we would not be crippled by anxiety. And yet how often so many of Your children are crippled by fear and worry about their lives. And yet, Lord, we can see that it is Your will that we don't focus on these things, because You are Heavenly Father and You love Your children. And if You provide for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, surely, Lord, Father, You will provide for Your redeemed and beloved children. Instead, we pray that we will do as You command, and You have commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We pray, Lord, we'll devote our attention, our energies to doing just that. And as we pray for our daily needs, that we will leave all of our cares to You, casting all of our anxieties on You, because You care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.